rapid prototyping in mobile health. I feel like maybe I should do a costume change. So this is more about how we're actually creating some of these interventions and how we're helping researchers and clinicians do this easily without any program experience at UCSF. So when you think about mHealth, you know, little m, big H, and it's got different names now, digital health, e-health, mobile health. I don't know that anybody has settled on a specific term. What we're looking at really, when you boil it down, is right care, right patient, right time. Using a device that has become ubiquitous and it exploits everything that the mobile phone can do. So not just these, not just voice and text communications, but video, the camera, the GPS, the apps, the weather app, the other apps that you might have on your phone. Anything that that phone can do, the sort of vibration signal, audio signals, anything that that phone can do, you can harness and somehow use in an intervention. And it's really changing how we deliver care and information to the underserved because people have these phones, as we've seen certainly in this population, people have them. At San Francisco General Hospital, there are several mHealth interventions happening where with indigent and homeless, where they come and are given mobile phones, and it's something that they end up holding on to. So using this to deliver care and information, it's pretty amazing. Most of us have our cell phones on us at all times. For many people, including me, it's the first thing I look at in the morning and probably the last thing I look at in the evening and multiple times throughout the day. So there are many ways to use that as a center and weave in other elements to create ways to collect data, whether it's passive with sensors or actual data entry, which is not so great when you have to yourself put in numbers, very personalized communications. I mean, these mobile platforms can learn you and your habits through your phone, really very personalized, full of feedback loops so that if something goes wrong, it's caught quickly. If something goes awry, it's sort of brought back to grid. And it can provide all sorts of real-time monitoring, whether it's through sensors or through data that you input or through data that it's gathering from you and your movements around the city, for instance. So at UCSF, we're kind of engaged in driving mobile health forward. We're a huge research institution, and what we do is innovation consulting around mobile and wireless and the application of that in medical research and practice and the intersection of that with public health. So we do a lot of, we build a lot of things. We do a lot of low-cost and no-cost prototyping so that people can gather data that they can then use to submit proposals. Because at this stage, nobody is funding really small pilot studies in mHealth. The large funders want scalable solutions. They already want you to have your pilot data. And getting that data can be challenging, right? So we provide a way that you can kind of create a mini intervention and pilot it and get even a small amount of data, an N of 10, for instance. We've got 40 projects running across the breadth of UCSF. So these are 40 projects, some R01-funded clinical trials that are using mobile phones in a variety of ways, some here in the U.S. and some internationally. We have a couple of projects running in Africa collecting data and helping community health workers triage villagers. We do that through a platform called the OpenPath Mobile Framework, which is an incredibly robust platform. And think of it as sort of a generic tool that you can skin with any topic or intervention that you want. And the reason that you can skin it is even though it has artificial intelligence built into it and elements of robotics built into it, and it can leverage absolutely any feature on the mobile phone, it is a generic framework that you can build on top of, the way you can build on top of an iPhone or an Android platform. It is device agnostic, so anything that you build on this platform will run on an iPhone or an Android phone. It'll even work on a basic flip phone that runs what's called J2ME. And the reason it's simple is that if you can express your intervention in an Excel spreadsheet, we can basically flip a switch and create a mobile intervention for you. I mean, a little bit of massaging, but within 2 hours, we can have you up and running with a mobile app, collecting data, interacting with subjects. So think of it as if you can express it in Excel, whether it's a survey or a care pathway. The platform is built to run a care pathway. So anything that a clinician might do or a researcher might do, and that makes sense to them. I mean, defining things in terms of care pathways or instructions makes a lot of sense in this world, in the medical world. Then you can easily express it in this Excel spreadsheet, and then it becomes a mobile app really quickly, and you can drag and drop certain elements, and then you can create an intervention that runs on a mobile device. And by mobile device, we're looking at everything that's mobile, so not just a phone and a tablet, but watches, pieces of jewelry, a pendant, anything. I mean, there's no reason why your earrings can't vibrate if it's time for you to take a pill as opposed to your phone, or that your necklace can't be monitoring your heart rate, or that you could have a wristband that's monitoring your physical activity. So we build a lot of off-the-shelf custom sensors into the platform. So if you've heard of the quantified self movement, where people use things like Nike Fuel Bands or Fitbits, or even simple pedometers, anything that outputs data, we can integrate with the platform so that you suddenly now are able to use some of these commercial devices with a population of thousands of subjects to see whether wearing a device actually makes a difference. And you can see it immediately. So you don't have to wait a year for your intervention to be over. You can see it immediately. What the platform does, because you express things in an Excel spreadsheet, is that it does it immediately. And once you do it immediately, you can put it into practice immediately. And you get these feedback loops. Subjects like it, don't like it, are doing it or not doing it. And so you can then go adjust your spreadsheet and change it in real time. So what we're focusing on are micro-interventions. So rather than having a large-scale, long-term intervention that it might take you a year or more to understand whether it's done any good or whether it is doing any good, we miniaturize that. So it can happen over and over and over again, and so that then you can adjust the platform and what it's doing easily. I mean, you really can adjust it within moments. You change something on the spreadsheet, you change something in the app, it behaves differently. So it's built on this idea of constant feedback loops. It wants to learn. And we use this the structure from iterative prototyping, basically from design, where you design it, you test it, and you analyze it. Does it work? Did it work? Great. If it doesn't work, you fix it, you change it, and you analyze it. This is a Thomas Edison quote, which is pretty astonishing, right? He just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. So that's what we're trying to do. You just weed out all the ways that don't work, and you can do it really, really quickly, not over years and years and years of an NIH grant, but fast, really fast. And it's built so that you can do it yourself. This is all open source. And we're in the process of creating tools that any researcher will be able to use off of our website. So we call it, essentially what we do, an app with 1,000 faces. Because the way we describe it is that if everybody here were to download the same app today from the App Store, say we're downloading a diabetes app, and we all use it for 3 months, and we come back, that app is going to look exactly the same on everybody's phone. Whereas if you build it on OpenPath, 3 months later, it will not only act differently, but it will look differently because it learns your patterns and it can learn from the other apps that you're using. And you can adjust it to different demographics. You can personalize it. So it will render differently. It might be blue, it might be red, it might be animated, it might be very plain and sober. So it can be highly, highly personalized and change with you. You essentially you'll need one app from cradle to grave because it can also manage comorbidities. I mean, there aren't a lot of mHealth interventions out there or apps where it'll help you manage your diabetes, lose weight, and possibly your cholesterol as well. So it's built with all of that in mind. There's some more information about it on our website at ucsfmhealth.org. And then within a few months, hopefully by the end of this year, there'll be easy open source tools to use. If any of you are REDCap users already in an academic institution, there's a easy interface that's coming between REDCap, which is a data tool, survey tool, and OpenPath. And here we are at UCSF. You can text my name to 41411 to get my contact information. Larry Suarez is the software architect who built OpenPath at UCSF and who continues to add features that are sort of, you know, mind-altering. It's amazing. Thanks very much.